Sha'Carri Richardson, the 21-year-old phenom sprinter who was America's best bet for a gold medal at the Tokyo Olympics. She's been left off the team after a positive test for marijuana. That decision by the U.S. track and field governing body has people divided right down the middle. Some saying, you know what, she knew the rules and she broke them. Others saying, come on, marijuana shouldn't even be considered a performance-enhancing drug. I am joined by someone who knows better than anyone what Sha'Carri is going through tonight. Ross Rabagliati won the first ever snowboarding gold medal at any Olympics, and that was in 1998 in Nagano. But then he was stripped of that gold medal after he tested positive for a very small amount of marijuana. Fortunately for Ross, at the time, marijuana was not on the list of banned substances. And so he got his medal back. Ross, it's great to see you after all these years. And I can see your beautiful Canadian background. Thank you for being on the program. You're the first person I thought of today when I wanted to discuss the Sha'Carri Richardson story. I wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Thanks, Ashley. Yeah, no, it's great to be here. It's a travesty, really, what's happened to Sha'Carri. You know, she's a bright star in the world of track and field, which is probably one of the most, if not the most competitive sport on earth, arguably. And, a great American citizen and role model. And it's too bad that cannabis activism has to be, you know, made at the expense of such an outstanding individual.
So, Ross, I want to ask you a little bit about your experience, because I sort of was one of those folks who thought when you got your medal back and they realized, okay, it's not a banned substance, and loads of people were behind you saying, gosh, give the guy two. If he won a gold and he had, you know, some marijuana in his system, it's not performance enhancing. What happened to you when you got back?
Well, you know, it was a mixed, reception, really. We had, of course, a lot of fans and a lot of support, you know, coming from British Columbia. You know, it's a cannabis culture, you could argue here. So, but there was a lot of mixed emotions as well. And, you know, my family endured, a couple of death threats and, some of the more, less exciting parts of it were definitely present.
So as I understood it, the endorsements were not there for a guy who comes back and wins the very first gold medal ever for the snowboarding sport. It should have been a windfall for you. There should have been a ticker tape parade, and instead, it was the opposite. And as I knew, you got to tell me this is true. I read somewhere you put the gold medal in a drawer, and it's still in the drawer.
That's a true story. My medal stayed in the drawer where you keep the stuff in your kitchen that you don't know where else it should go. It was probably in there for a good decade. There was a period of time that went by after the Olympics, I would say 10 to 15 years, where I kind of had to deal with a lot of emotions and, a kind of depression and PTSD almost from going through something that was so, just winning the gold that was a big enough change for me, but to have to be embarrassed and to embarrass my country and, the sport of snowboarding was a debut at the Nagano Olympics, like you mentioned. So, you know, there was a lot on my shoulders and I really, bore the brunt of it. But at the same time, I did know, the platform that was given to me. And, you know, as a cannabis, supporter, leading up to 98, I knew it was going to take time, but it was an opportunity that I had to take to get behind cannabis and support athletes and people in the world who use it.
So we're seeing all these pictures of you. I remember watching this. I was so happy for you. I was so happy to see snowboarding, included in the Winter Olympics for the first time. And then that maple leaf, walking along with the gold medal. But it's weird how life works out. You know, here you are in your 40s and you had to go through the tunnel of crap. And all of a sudden, now Canada allows recreational marijuana use and it's cause célèbre. And you could actually launch companies and actually harness that brand that was so tarnished before. It is actually valuable now for you. You've got Ross Gold, and I think you've got another company as well. You'll have to tell me the name of it. But that must be sort of sweet justice after all these years.
Yeah, it really is. You know, it's a long time coming. And just to let you know, I'll be 50 next week. So it's, you know, it's been a long road of for me to stay healthy and stay on top of my game. And cannabis has really helped me get there. But to see cannabis come to a point in history in Canada where we're at a recreational level supported by the federal government, you know, we never thought that we'd see that in our lifetime. You know, the most entrenched activists, you know, for cannabis legalization never expected to see this. So, you know, we really believe that my experience in 98 really started the conversation in Canada about whether or not cannabis should be under prohibition. And, you know, I think it's no secret that prohibition started, you know, rooted in racism to control the freed black slaves in America, and it continues to bog down corporate interests and IOC.
Well, I want to ask you this question as before we go to break. You know, everybody made those jokes about you should get two gold medals because, oh my gosh, if you can win a gold medal after smoking weed, or in your case, it was, you've always said it was secondhand smoke. But I've also heard you say you do believe it is a performance enhancing drug because you could sleep better, you could recover better, your stress levels were lower, and there is maybe a case to be made that, yeah, it actually does enhance performance. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I absolutely do. And that, you know, performance enhancing isn't necessarily what the traditional sense of the word really means. Like, you know, water is performance enhancing. You will die without it. So if you perform better when you're hydrated. Same with eating a banana. Is it performance enhancing banana because it's good for you, or a recreational banana because it's on a banana split? Like, I mean, give me a break. It grows out of the ground. It comes out of a tree. It's natural. It should be promoted as a positive for athletes, as an alternative to pharmaceuticals that are addictive and just mask injuries. Whether or not performance enhancing or not performance enhancing, it has no place on the list of banned substances. The list is designed to keep a level playing field, and that's it. It's not a social issue list or anything, you know, to do with corporate image list or anything like that. And, you know, the IOC really needs to take the opportunity to be a leader in humanity. And whether or not some countries have cannabis legalized is completely irrelevant. It should be, and it should be more accepted and used right across the board, you know, around the world.
Okay, well, don't go anywhere, Ross. I have so many more questions for you. And also, when we come back, we're going to be joined by another Olympian who literally just wrote the book on how to face life's hurdles. Lolo Jones is going to be with us. And then also the Jerry Maguire of sports agents, literally the guy who the movie was made about, is going to talk about what this means for Sha'Carri's future. Welcome back to our coverage of Team USA's decision to leave gold medal favorite sprinter Sha'Carri Richardson off the Olympic team because of her positive test for marijuana. We've been discussing it with former Olympian Ross Rubagliati, who won the gold medal in giant slalom snowboarding at the 1998 Nagano Olympics. He was stripped of his gold medal due to his own positive marijuana test before getting that medal back. I also now want to bring in another Olympian, Lolo Jones, who has competed for America both in the Summer and Winter Olympics. I think she's only one of 10 people who's ever done both Olympics. So, woo! Her book is entitled, and I love this, Over It, How to Face Life's Hurdles with Grit, Hustle, and Grace, and it'll be in stores on July 20th. And also joining the conversation is Lee Steinberg, a famous, I think it's fair to say, one of the most famous sports agents and the chairman of Steinberg Sports. He has represented some of the most talented and famous athletes in the world of sports, and some believe the Tom Cruise role in Jerry Maguire was actually all about Lee Steinberg. So welcome, Lolo and Lee. Thank you for joining the conversation. Lolo, I want to get your reaction from someone who has been on many an Olympic field. This must have really kind of shocked you a little bit, and I'm not sure how you fell on the debate.
It was definitely shocking, especially Sha'Carri went to LSU. I'm an LSU alumni, so it was really hard to see everything going on with her. It was shocking because, one, for two different reasons, and I know there's a huge debate going on. It's shocking because all the athletes, we know the rules. We know we're going to get drug tested at the Olympic trials. Sha'Carri is the top sprinter in USA. It's not like she didn't know she wasn't going to get drug tested there. It's 100% pretty much guaranteed, because if you make the team, you know the top three athletes are going to get drug tested. On the other side, this is an outdated ruling. Like, marijuana shouldn't be on the performance enhancing list. It's just by no means going to help you win a 100-meter sprint race. If anything, it's going to hurt your reaction time. So there's two sides of the debate. One, the rule should be changed, and I think that Sha'Carri will be the reason the rules will change next year. But the problem is that is the rule this year, and all the athletes knew that going into the Olympic trials, that you would be drug tested, and to make the Olympic team, you would be drug tested, especially for marijuana.
So, Lee, jump in on this, because, you know, she is, look at her. She is a walking brand. She's one of those athletes that I think someone like you would say, oh, man, I could see you on a million different product labels. I could see you endorsing everything. You're just, you know, she reminds me of FloJo, right? We all looked at her nails and her makeup, and they were just these incredible characters, you know, in competition. They were not bland. Now, with that said, Lee, does she have a chance at still having some, you know, marketing viability?
Oh, I think so, because it really is a compelling story. This woman lost her mother, which is about as tragic a situation other than losing your children as you could imagine. So there are rules, and it's important to follow them. On the other hand, there's human judgment about those rules and when to waive them. I've marketed people like Brian Boitano when he came back from the Winter Olympics, Kerry Strug, and the Olympics is the premier marketing event internationally in this world. So high profile during it, they would tell her backstory. If she can get this waived and come back and compete, I think that for a younger generation, there's no stigma there. And I mean, think about it. Your mother died, and now you turn to dope. This is not and performance enhancing. I mean, if eating Fritos and candy and watching cartoons is performance enhancing, I'm not sure how that plays.
Well, there is that artificial confidence boost that, you know, Ross has mentioned in previous interviews, that there is that part of it too. There is a debate to be had. Let me read something that I think is really fascinating. It's from the USATF, the United States Track and Field Association. It's not the statement that I expected, because I thought it would be very harsh, and yet it's very sympathetic to Sha'Carri. Let me read it. While the USATF fully agrees that the merit of the World Anti-Doping Agency rules related to THC should be reevaluated, all USATF athletes are equally aware of and must adhere to the current anti-doping code. So while our heartfelt understanding lies with Sha'Carri, we must also maintain fairness for all of the athletes who attempted to realize their dreams by securing a place on the U.S. Olympic track and field team. Lolo, I was a little surprised about that, because I know that they had two discretionary picks, but they did not choose Sha'Carri with those discretionary picks. And her 30-day suspension was going to end before the relay, and they just didn't even allow that. Is this the end of this debate, Lolo? Is this the last time we're going to hear about marijuana being an issue? Do you think this is going to be the tipping point?
I think that the rule is absolutely going to get changed because of Sha'Carri, and I think a lot of athletes will applaud her for that. I think the reason why she probably wasn't picked for the discretionary is because you have to understand that there's other members on that relay team. So let's say they win a gold medal in a 4x1, and if she smokes weed or again, or tests positive, they could have that medal stripped away. So I don't know if that's maybe the reason why they didn't pick her. They didn't want to risk that with the other girls winning their medals. There's probably so many things and factors that went into place. But all I know is that this was definitely the tipping point to change this rule, and it needs to happen. The rule's outdated, and for sure we will have different stipulations for THC and marijuana moving forward next year.
Okay, well, when we come back after the break, I want to continue this conversation, and specifically because even the president of the United States, Joe Biden, weighed in on it. He said rules are rules, okay, yeah, but then he went on to say whether they should remain the rules is a different issue. After the break, I'm going to get you all to weigh in on the world of sports when it comes to marijuana, because for a lot of other athletes, this is a dying issue. Shikari Richardson may not even know about the night that Ross Rebagliati went on the Jay Leno show, only to be ridiculed for having lost his gold medal for having tested positive for marijuana. He got that medal back and then endured a lot of ridicule. And you know what, Ross? In 2012, the Olympics started to really respond to the marijuana situation because they loosened a lot of the restrictions. They upped the level that you could have in your system quite a bit, and they lowered the bans from like 2 years to the 30 days. Do you think that that's the beginning of the end? Because here we are almost a decade later, and this happened to Shikari.
Yeah, well, it's really pointing towards that, Ashley. I think that, you know, when they added it to the list after me, then just recently they it's 1,000% higher than what it used to be. And I think that speaks to the cultural acceptance that cannabis is now having in America and Canada and other parts of the world.
Yeah. And Lee, the NHL, the NBA, and, you know, the NFL have all really eased up. Why are the Olympics so sort of hell-bent on it? Is it the whole violating the spirit of the sport part of it?
They still drug test in the NFL, and they specifically test at the combine. We've always seen it not as a test of moral character, but an IQ test if you know you're going to be tested. So the difficult part of it legally is that the federal government still outlaws marijuana. I live in California. There are billboards directing you to stores where anyone can buy it. So the problem is you have a mixed bag of states in terms of where they are. Some are medical marijuana, some are decriminalized, and all the rest. So you can't expect a league like the NFL to allow it. And then because I live in California and someone else lives in Texas. So it's difficult that way. But I think that these rules will eventually leave. See, when you're talking about what her future will be, it's the Olympics itself that are the premier marketing event. My daughter fell in love with Lola Jones because you got her backstory. And so without it, we won't know much about this talented sprinter. They market from the standpoint of getting to know the personality. So when you combine great performance with that boost in terms of celebrity, that's what leads you to marketability. So she'll have some problems.
Yeah, I fell in love with Lolo, too, as a lot of Americans did. Lolo, I'm short on a little time, but I do want you to answer to the whole marketability thing, because even Shikari said, hey, everyone's talking about track. This is a good thing. Do you agree?
I think absolutely. I think her tweet was perfect after the news broke. You know, I am human. I think that she's doing an amazing job. She's a talented runner, but I really like watching her post-race interviews the most. And I think that's what I think is we're going to miss out on a great performance from her at the Olympics.
Yeah.
But like everyone said, getting to know those backstories. Oh, I mean, I just really was hoping to see that, more of that, more of her interviews.
I was hoping to see a big old gold medal for the U.S., but maybe that'll still happen. Sorry about that, Ross. Hey, Lolo Jones and Ross Rebagliati and Lee Steinberg, thank you, guys. I'll just give a couple of plugs here. Lolo's got that awesome book coming out. Props on the title, girl. It's awesome. Over It, How to Face Life's Hurdles with Grit, Hustle, and Grace. Lee is, of course, the chairman of Steinberg Sports, and Ross Rebagliati has Ross Gold. Is that right, Ross? Ross Gold, I got it right?
Ross is gold. Here it is.
There it is. Congratulations. All right. Thanks, team, all my guests, and thank you for watching, everyone.